Berlin, Washington. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the latest on the economy. We'll talk with Brian Westbury, former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress, about the very volatile week we've seen on Wall Street, which finally ended with a bit of good news on Friday. We'll also get his thoughts on the intense debate on Capitol Hill over whether to bail out the auto industry and whether we'll see some market stability now that it appears Barack Obama is ready to unveil his economic team for his new administration. Also in this edition of Dateline Washington, the cabinet choices continue. We'll discuss the apparent selection of some very familiar names from the Clinton administration and ask whether this is the change Barack Obama really promised. We'll be joined by Richard Benedetto, former White House correspondent for USA Today. Plus, America's civic literacy. It's not very literate. We'll talk with Dr. Richard Brake of the Intercollegiate Studies Institute about how Americans don't even know the basics about the American founding and the way our government functions. And bye-bye American pie. We'll talk about the struggling economy with Elena Newport of the Capitol Steps. All that, plus the top news at the end of the week, follows our discussion on the economy with Brian Westbury, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Brian Westbury, former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. He is now chief economist for First Trust Advisors in Lisle, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. He joins me now to talk about another tumultuous week in the U.S. economy, which saw the Dow go much below the 8,000-point barrier for the first time in 5 years, or at least close there for the first time in 5 years. We also want to get his thoughts on the ongoing congressional debate regarding a possible bailout for the big three automakers in this country and what we might expect from the unveiling of the Barack Obama economic team, which apparently will happen early next week. And Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's always great to be with you.
Well, first of all, it seemed as though the markets, while not exactly stable, had stayed for the most part north of 8,000. This week, that barrier was not psychological at all. Investors not only went below it on Wednesday, but went another 4.5 points down again on Thursday. It looks a little better on Friday, but what's spooking investors this week?
Well, I think there's two things that have spooked investors. Number one is the weakness in the economy. And you go back to mid-September, it really started with the failure of the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers, when people literally got scared of keeping money in banks or money market accounts. We saw this flight to cash. We saw a panic. I want to call it a classic case of panic, but when I say classic, the last time we've seen anything like this was in 1907. So in a way, no one alive today knows exactly what to expect. But when we look at events like that in history, they tend to be relatively short-lived. In other words, the panic is much worse than the actual reality. It looks like spending fell very dramatically in September and October. That caused layoffs to accelerate at some companies, put other companies like the automakers into extreme difficulty. But it looks like spending is beginning to stabilize. I'm not going to say the economy is going to take off, but I think most of that panic is now behind us, and I look for the economy to stabilize early next year and into the spring.
Brian, obviously, as you said, a classic example going all the way back to 1907 will not trigger the memories of too many people, but the economy was also pretty lousy in the late 1970s. We had worse unemployment.
Right.
Interest rates were much higher. We also had significant inflation problems at the time. Was there the same type of panic, or are there special factors this time around that really have investors wondering which way this is all going to go?
Yeah, and that gets to the, you know, kind of the second reason for what's going on in the stock market here. And that is, the first is this fear that the economy is not only tanking today and going to get worse in 2009, but also this fear that government policies might shift back to those like we had in the 1970s, with higher taxes and more government regulation and an inflationary monetary policy. And it's really the combination of these two things, I think, that led to this huge drop in the stock market this week. There's a lack of certainty about what future economic policy will be. Is it going to be like the 1970s? And there's a lack of certainty about the economy. I do believe that the economy is in better shape than kind of the pessimists, if you will, if I can just label people that are fearful as pessimists. believe that in fact the economy is in better shape than that and will bounce back. But that still leaves the uncertainty of what economic policies might be over the next few years. We have a new president, after all.
Brian, you mentioned that you believe the economy will get stronger in the early part of next year and continue to get stronger throughout the year. Before that happens, what should investors be ready to expect in terms of where this might bottom out?
Yeah, I think that when you look at the stock market today, just any metric, and what I mean by that, P.E. ratios, price of an equity to the earnings of that company, price-to-earnings ratios, the S&P dividend yield today is higher than the yield on a 10-year Treasury bond. Just about every metric we look at shows that the stock market is extremely undervalued. That doesn't mean that it can't fall more, but I believe what we've seen in here is the kind of capitulation panic that puts in a bottom. And I would not be surprised that when we look back a year from now that we don't see the bottom in the stock market as having occurred in this past week.
Brian, to some extent, is the panic we're seeing a result of the market being so strong in the past couple of decades, and that since Black Monday, there have really been, for the most part, few hiccups along the way?
Yeah, this is a great question, Greg. And here's the way I sort of look at things. If you go back into the 70s, from 1965 to 1982, the stock market, it went up and down from year to year, but it basically went nowhere for almost 17 years. And we were in recession during that time about 30% of the time, a third of the time. It was not a good economic time. Inflation was rising. Taxes were high. The economy was struggling, and the stock market didn't go anywhere. Then we started into this period in 1982 where we had very few recessions in this long boom. Economists call it the Great Moderation. You know, we had stable growth and low inflation, and I think people got used to that. Well, now we're entering a period where government policies have changed and things are getting a little more rocky. Inflation has picked up, and people are fearful that we're going to go back to those kinds of 1970s times. I think what happened is that we had a very overvalued market in the late 90s. We've seen that overvaluation come out, and now we're at a period of very undervalued stocks. If you really look at underlying technology and productivity, we are still in a period of great wealth creation. It's the second great industrial revolution, if you will. And so as long as we don't mess up our policies too much in the next, you know, few years, I think the stock market can actually recover. It's not going to be as great as it was in the 80s and 90s, but I think it can do very, very well in the next few years.
We're talking with Brian Westbury, former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress, now holds chief economist status at First Trust Advisors in Lyle, Illinois. And Brian, let's talk about your experience on the Hill, because lawmakers this week dealing with the plea from Ford, Chrysler, and GM for a $25 billion bailout. They say GM especially could be bankrupt by the time the inauguration rolls around if things break badly enough for them. Right now, lawmakers seem resistant. Senate Democrats couldn't find enough Republicans to go along with the bill to move it forward this week. What would be your recommendation to lawmakers on how to treat the auto industry?
Yeah, well, the one problem that we have is that if the taxpayers give money to the automakers, but there's no real fundamental change in how they manage their companies or manage their workforce or their pension plans or their health care plans, we will just be back into this problem later in the future. I kind of go back and look at this in terms of kind of going back after 9/11, if you will. The airlines saw a huge decline in their business, and they dealt with that decline by literally cutting pay, reducing pensions, reducing the cost of those companies that were very unionized. But the auto companies, what they did is they put in 0.0% financing and kind of kicked the can down the road. They were able to sell cars at very cheap prices and kind of keep things moving. And now they've hit the wall. I think what they have to do is the things that the airlines did in order to remain competitive. And so I'd be very leery of giving too much taxpayer money to companies that won't change. I think they need to change. One way to get that done is to move some of them, maybe, into bankruptcy. We'll see how this all unfolds, but I doubt anything's going to happen until next year when the new Congress finally gets into session.
Brian, we're also hearing that early next week, probably on Monday, President-elect Barack Obama will announce his economic team, which could include some familiar faces. Apparently, the Treasury Secretary is expected to be Timothy Geithner. Commerce Secretary could be Governor Bill Richardson. Other names, perhaps from the Clinton era, could be on this team as well. How important is that for investors in the markets to know who's going to be behind the policies and be encouraging the economy verbally over the next 4 years?
Yeah, this is hugely important, Greg, and it's been one of the disappointments that I've had in the last few weeks. Here we are in the midst of a crisis, and we should have been really naming these people much more, much quicker, and talking about what their policies might be. Investors really need to know what they will face in the future, and the fact that many of these people are tanned, rested, and readied members of the former Clinton administration, if you will, is actually good news. That was a pragmatic administration that basically realized that we couldn't operate the country or the government without a strong private sector, and I think that's good. They were also tended to be for free trade, which is a huge positive. And as a result, I think the names that I'm hearing today make me more comfortable. And by the way, I think that's one of the reasons that the stock market is up to date. But now they have to follow through on policies that don't scare or harm or hurt the market in any big way. And that's going to be the when the rubber meets the road. So naming them is the first thing, but then talking about what kind of policies they may follow is going to be the next very important step.
Brian, we'll be watching. I know you will as well. Thanks, as always, for your time.
Greg, thank you.
Brian Westbury, former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. He's now chief economist for First Trust Advisors in Lisle, Illinois, just outside Chicago. This is Dateline Washington.